Hello, welcome to Walking Wisely. On this program, each week I interview a new guest who is willing to share with us some of their life story, along with the steps that they have taken to learn how to walk wisely with our Heavenly King Jesus. I'm Anne-Marie, your host, and this is Episode 8. Today's program is going to be a little bit different in the way that my guest, who is a writer, will read her testimony to us today. But before I introduce my lovely guest, may I ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, when you hear God's voice directing you, how obedient are you to do what God is telling you to when He's telling you to do it? Wisdom is about obedience. And in God's word in the New Standard Version, in Isaiah 1:19, it states this promise: if you are willing to obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. Well, my guest today has a passion to be obedient to the Lord. She is a representative for the Gideons and also has a passion for baking. Welcome to the program today, Erica.
Thank you.
And you have a story that you're going to share with us today, so
yes,
please
yes,
read.
Yes, I do. Thank you. My name is Erica Kubisch. God deals with each of us in a different way, and for some reason, known only to Him, God has laid it upon my heart to share the following chapters of my life with you. I thank the good Lord that He has given me a good memory and a sound mind. I have lived most of my 76 years as a professing Christian. However, as most teenagers, I chose to wander off on my own, testing my wings and eventually realizing that I was going to in a wrong direction. It was a long, difficult journey of disobedience that I was on, drifting further and further away from my first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was introduced to me by my dear mother when I was only a little girl. She has since gone to be with the Lord, and she was the best example of a totally dedicated Christian woman that I have ever known. As I mentioned, disobedience and an overabundance of overactive hormones led me to leave home at a young age, get married against my dear mother's wishes, to a man who professed to be an atheist, and I proceeded to play house, little Miss Know-It-All, thinking that my love for him could change him. Not so. Years later, with two grown teenagers, a very bitter divorce brought me to my knees in repentance as I started calling out to God, but there was no answer. The more I prayed, the more distant God seemed. I cried out to Him time and time again, "Have you forgotten me, Lord? I once was your little girl who loved you so much. Why are you turning your back on me? Please give me another chance." But again, there was no answer. Struggling to put some meaning back into my life, coping with the shame of my divorce, which was not accepted lightly by my family or background, I turned to alcohol, which was also not accepted by my family, to find some temporary relief. Shame and guilt overwhelmed me at times. One thing was certain, I needed to keep myself busy, so I decided to change my career and find something that I really liked to do, for me, for a change. This is where my cooking career came in. I loved cooking and baking, so I decided to go back to college to get my cooking degree. All this should have made me so happy, but I became more and more miserable. The memory of my past married life became an obsession of hate and unforgiveness. I could not let go of it. Enough time had lapsed from my divorce to now. I should be getting over it, but I could not get past the anger and hate. It was consuming me. I continued to pray and call to God for forgiveness for myself, but I could not forgive that man who had hurt me so badly. Again, God was silent. I have heard it said that silence is golden, but that is not at all true, especially when you are in desperate need of hearing from the voice that can change everything. Silence becomes agony as it drags you down deeper and deeper into a bottomless black pit. And then a strange thing happened. God gave me a dream, and the dream went like this. I was standing in a doorway of what appeared to be a large house. A voice beckoned me in. As I entered, I immediately felt a peacefulness overcome me. I also noticed that the carpets in the room were plush and soft and of a delicate color, peachy pink, I think. The colors of the wall matched the carpets. Everything was so very clean and beautiful, but most of all, I noticed the peacefulness all around me. The furniture matched exquisitely. It was beyond perfection. The voice spoke again, asking me if I liked what I saw, and I replied, "Oh, yes, Lord, it is so beautiful." The voice said, "Come, let me show you more." We walked together side by side through the house, one room more beautiful than the other. And I kept saying, "This is so beautiful, Lord. Everything is so perfect." Then the voice said, "Would you like to live here?" "Oh, yes, Lord," I replied. "Well," the voice said, "then I have something for you to do." "Okay," I said, "tell me what I must do." "Come," the voice said again, this time taking me by the hand and leading me back through the beautiful rooms, back out to the entrance where I'd come in. Once there, the voice spoke again. "When you step outside, you will see two paths. One leads off to the right and the other off to the left. Follow the one on the left." I wanted the voice to come with me, so I asked him if he would please come along. "No, my child," he said. "This path you must take alone. I cannot go with you any further, not until you deal with those things that lay ahead of you on this path." I then stepped out and started to follow the path, which was small and narrow, and wound around the corner of the house. As I looked ahead, I saw a large burning barrel at the far end of the path. As I came closer, I noticed that it was overflowing with all sorts of papers. I reached the barrel and started to read the bold print on some of the pages. It took my breath away. My ex-husband's name was written on many of the top pages, along with the word, "Forgive." The barrel was full of all my past sins, names of people that I had wronged, taken advantage of, or had sometimes treated badly. "Oh, dear Lord," I cried. And then I woke up. I did not need anyone to explain the dream to me. I knew that God had spoken to me, and I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. That morning for breakfast, I drank tears, not coffee, as I made God a promise that before the year was over, I would write a letter of forgiveness to my ex-husband. This became far more difficult than I thought it would be. So many emotions came back to haunt me. I started realizing that not everything was his fault. I too was to blame for many things that went wrong throughout the many years of marriage. Time went on and my heart began to soften as I planned the dreadful letter that I knew I had to write. About every 2 weeks, there would be a knock at the door of my heart and I would hear the voice saying, "Remember me? When are you going to write that letter?" My answer would always be, "Yes, Lord, I will. I still have lots of time before the end of the year." By nature, I think that we are all procrastinators, me probably worse than most, and a large dose of stubborn and strong will. Add that, and you have me, Erica. The months went by, fall was coming. By now, the voice was every week to remind me. Oh, how I was dreading this. I had so faithfully promised that I would do this. Why am I finding this so difficult? I asked myself. It was on the evening of December 15th. I was just about finished doing the supper dishes when I heard the voice again. This time it was very clear. Erica, you will do it now. No, Lord, I said out loud, I can't. I just can't. What happened next, I cannot explain. It felt like someone took hold of my collar and started carrying me down the hallway to the office. All the while I was yelling, no, no, no. I soon found myself sitting at my computer writing a letter of forgiveness to my ex-husband. Forgiving him without faulting or blaming him for anything and humbly asking for forgiveness in return. A mere half of an hour later, as I looked over the letter and took me 8 months to write, I felt an overwhelming peace come over me. Through tears of joy, I prayed and thanked my Heavenly Father for not giving up on this stubborn child of his. The next morning, I could hardly wait to mail this letter. It was like a big weight had been lifted from me. I did receive a Merry Christmas card and a reply from my ex-husband wishing me well. Even though he never mentioned the word forgiveness in return, it didn't matter to me. My reward is in heaven and not on this earth. With the help of my Lord and Savior, who loved me enough to die for me, I have overcome. I now feel compassion and not hate for him. After this, I realized that truly there is nothing impossible for God. Taking a stubborn little blonde like me and bending her will to become his will, I now work harder at being obedient, and because I do, God's voice speaks softly to me, and I always feel so blessed when he does. You see, I know better than not to listen to him. He is my dad. He is the only father that I know, and he disciplines me. Like it says in Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord. He definitely has his ways of making you obedient. Also, like it says in Philippians, God works in you to will and to do according to his good purpose. When you are a child of God, his will becomes your will. I praise him for his patience and his love. I still have a long way to go in emptying the barrel, but I know that now God is walking with me. He is my strength when I'm weak. He is the one who goes before me and fights my battle and makes my path straight. He picks me up when I fall down, and all I have to do is to be obedient to him, honor him, and love him with my whole heart. He is my all in all. Without him, I have nothing. To conclude my testimony, I would like to add that through this difficult time, God was preparing me to meet a Christian man by the name of Ernie Kubish. He became the light of my life, my dearest friend, my soulmate, and husband of 24 and a half years. God did give me another chance, only this time it was God's way and not mine, and he did the choosing for me. When God does something, it is always perfect, and we had a perfect marriage made in heaven. 4.5 years ago, God took Ernie home. I miss him terribly, but I do know that I will see him again. I am ready and waiting for that day. I want to thank everyone who has taken the time to listen to my testimony. I do hope and pray that in some way you can glean from my past life and experiences. May God bless you in abundance as he has me. Before I sign off, I would like to read this little poem called Broken Dreams. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I took my broken dreams to God because he is my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, "How come you've been so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never did let go." Thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful, Erica. And the whole time you were reading your story, I just got the impression of that beautiful daughter in Christ, that God sees us all as his children. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your testimony with us. If you'd like to hear a replay of Erica's story, you can hear it on the Walking Wisely archives under the special programming link on Grace Christian Radio at CrestonGraceFellowship.org. Otherwise, please plan to join me next week to glean more wisdom from my next Walking Wisely guest. 1 Peter 1:22 states this: "When you are cleansed from your sins, when you have obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other as deeply with all of your heart." Now that is some wise advice. I'm Anne-Marie, your host. Thank you for joining myself and my guest Erica today. May God bless you to obediently walk wisely in your days ahead.